That's beautiful. Really beautiful. Thank you, Juan. What is the photo? What's the picture you have on your case? Juan.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's actually a gift you gave me for my birthday.
Yes, I remember. What is it?
Is from the Divine Comedy, the sparkling circles of the heavenly host.
Yeah, isn't that wonderful?
Yeah.
I thought I gave it to you. I gave it to someone else, one too, called The First Night. And it's a couple looking into the first night that ever was. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's I had it a long time with me, so I know exactly what it is. I thought it was that, but I wasn't sure.
I love it. It is in my studio.
Oh, yeah.
And now I've started to putting it here by the instrument. I'm playing a lot of this. This is a hammer dulcimer.
The hammer dulcimer. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It has its roots in the ancient Persia.
Mm-hmm.
That is called santur, as also also in India, it's called santur.
That's so interesting because I thought the dulcimer was from Ireland. Now I know it's from Persia. That's completely different.
Originary, yeah, but then he traveled, and then when he arrived in England and Ireland, is called hammer dulcimer. And this is an English version, for example. But
it's from Persia. Yeah. Beautiful. It's very, it draws you in, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Can you ever stop playing it?
Yeah, unfortunately, I don't play it enough. I would like to. Yeah, but it's true, when you started, it really draws in.
Mm-hmm.
I mainly improvise on, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I thought you were improvising. Were you improvising?
Yeah, but is obviously the path are known. Is it cannot play all the scales, so it.
Well, Improvision is very beautiful. So, I mean, really very beautiful. Very automatic.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you for the opportunity.
Mm. Who's broken? Om Shri Satche Mahaprabhu Ki Jai. Paramatma Ki Jai. Gurudev Bhagawan Ki Jai. Satcha Sangha Ki Jai. Greetings, everyone. Excuse me, I'm coughing a little bit. I'm a little bit. And I'm not feeling great today, but I'm feeling great to be with you. There's no doubt about that. So you just lift me just by having Zoom. Thank you for that. That's a fact. If I wasn't with you, I'd be upstairs complaining about how I feel to nobody but the walls and myself. So I'm going to read a very lovely message I got from Australia, again, different Australian. Don't know who the first is, not telling. Don't know who the second is, not telling. But from Australia, nevertheless. Dearest Shanti Mai, thank you for your offering. Excuse me. Thank you for offering the passage from the Ashtavakra Gita and your insight. I read it almost every day. I'm happy to hear that. One of my clients is 95-year-old Nancy, who was diagnosed with what is labeled dementia. We love sitting together quietly. The other day, she turns to me and says, "What are you doing when you sit like this?" I said, "I'm sitting in my own splendor, Nancy." And a few moments later, I asked her the same question, and she replied, "I enjoy watching the sun on the surface of the water in front of the window." I said, "So you're sitting in your own splendor." "Yes, I am," she replied. What I love about this is that Nancy is 95 and she has dementia. And she translates very easily, just being at ease and perceiving, as somebody says, that you're sitting in your own splendor. And she realizes, yes, that's so. Mm-hmm. That is true. It's not difficult. It's not difficult at all. Because, I mean, here's a woman who's taking in the sparkling of the sun on the surface of the water, which is one of my favorite experiences of life, actually, because each sparkle is the sun itself, and there can be millions upon millions, and I've seen this on the Ganges, on the little river that crosses the road here. Mm-hmm. The reflections of life in the water. And this 95-year-old woman who has dementia, who is said to have dementia, she knows that she's sitting in her own splendor. It's not complicated. It's not hard to find. I was considering the peace within you, and if you struggle to find or seek it, it's because you're looking outside of yourself. looking for a place, looking for the right situation, looking for the right moment, sitting down, and just take a breath and you'll go there. And it's without, you know, Nancy didn't have a thought in her mind that she should analyze or deny that she was sitting in her own splendor. She didn't wonder, how do you get there? She just watched the sparkles on the river. And she knew that's what she was doing because somebody mentioned it to her, and not because she has dementia and agrees with everyone, but she understood. How is that possible? Because we all know exactly what it is that we are experiencing, that we are being in the core of our being. We know what love is. We know. We don't have to look for it and wonder about it. Just watching the sparkles on the river, being there, this sitting in one's own splendor and one's own radiance. I'm very happy for, excuse me, that Ashtavakra passage. It's, why to worry about all of these things, even spiritually worry about all of these things, or seek it out outside of ourselves when, in fact, it's right there always in the sparkle of the river. Mm-hmm. I was very happy to receive this message because, again, it reminded me that Nancy knew, you know, she's ready to leave the planet. You can say 95 years old, even if there's five more years, even if she lives to be 105, she's on her way out with a very fragile mental I don't want to call it a condition, but I will. And she knows that every sparkle on the river, every dance of the leaves in the wind, every breath, every moment is the possibility to be present in one's own splendor, one's own radiance, and need not to think, what is the radiance? What's the splendor? Am I doing it right? Where is it? How come? I don't feel it. But Nancy felt it just in the sparkle of the river. She only had to be, well, she didn't even have to be. But somebody mentioned to her that they were sitting in their own splendor, just being with her. And that's what she must be doing too, or feeling or experiencing. And Nancy said, yeah, that's it. Yeah, that's it. Sometimes I get messages, not very often, because you get it, and I know you do. But sometimes I get messages that say something like, well, it's nothing new. Neither is the sparkle on the river. But at one time, it's going to capture you, or it has captured you, or the smell of the forest, or the moment of the morning, or the twilight and the evening, or just going through your day. Mm-hmm. So I was very happy to get that message. And I love how it reminded me that it really is memory, isn't it? It's not a teaching in the sense of something that you don't know that you're coming to know. And knowing is good, but it's not enough. It's not enough presence of experience, sound, the sound of, oh, let's say the cry of the baby, the neighbor's car horn, the tires on the road, wet tires going through a rainy day, or as we mentioned before in the transmission, the sound of the snow falling off the branches. Actually, all of it is sitting, being in your own radiance. It doesn't have to look a certain way. It doesn't have to look like what Juan was showing with the circle of angels, the heavenly host. It doesn't have to look like that. Not at all. It can look like a leaf falling off the tree or budding in the spring or a fruit growing off a blossoming plant, ripening, anything, walking through the market, talking to a friend. And there is something about this that always reflects back to being aware, admitting, acknowledging, seeing that it's so in our private moments, that this, what I am, who I am, is a great mystery, simply never to be considered in a way that I'm going to figure it out, or that knowing is enough, or that I can collect all kinds of books and know all kinds of things. But the very breath that I breathe, when I hear it like the ocean coming into the shore, because it really does sound just like that, is sitting in my own splendor. Very simple, uncomplicated, relaxed, at ease. You know it all. You always have. And there is nothing new. But once you enter just a moment of relaxation and be aware, of what is within you, what is around you, not to need to have to go after this or have to go after that or have to look like this or look like that. So one of the worst things about spirituality is how you have to look like an angel all of the time. And it's not true. You don't have to look like anything. I like also in the Ashtavakra Gita, I don't have it with me, but Ashtavakra says, what is it to have the meditation or the this or the that? So people already have some kind of idea that they're guilty if they don't meditate. I say I'm in meditation all the time. I don't know what that means, but I'm certain that it's so. It doesn't have to look like anything. And if you love, 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 love the mudras and you love the Gayatri, and these are qualities that lift you up, and meditation in a silent place when your mind is empty of thought and your heart is simply beating and your breath is moving in and out, because you love it See, this is the problem with spirituality, is we get, we sometimes, is it enough? Am I doing enough? Is it right? Will people see it correctly? Will they know? Will they see me as a loving being? You know, in all this presentation, when you are just at peace with yourself and life, people don't have to know that you're spiritually ignited or well-versed, well-learned, moving along the Dharma, dedicated your life to offering your life for all of beings, just your very breath, because you love what you're doing, you love your neighbor, and it doesn't even have to be some big fire of display. It can simply be that you don't hate them. That's love. Not hating is love. We have to be very careful not to begin to just put in front of us all of this spiritual ideas that we have to be like this and this and this and this, and nobody can say a word about anybody else. If they do, they're not spiritual. That's not true. Everyone is spiritual, even the soldiers on the battlefield, because everyone is not their body, is not their thoughts. Not just you. Everyone is not their body, not their thoughts. That is beautiful. Oh, I thought it was only me because I have learned non-duality and they don't know. Well, whether they know or not, the fact is what you come to know about yourself is true and of every single being. And I got a message today about not wanting to do a certain thing because they didn't feel it in their heart. I think that's really accurate. Yeah, don't do anything that you don't truly feel in your heart. And they said, nor to just to be in your presence. And I want to bring this up because I think it's really important. My presence is no more important than your presence. And presence to me means the sparkle on the river has penetrated the eye all the way to the heart in silence. I don't consider myself or you or anyone, you know, I might say about Maharaji, because that was my feeling about him, that his presence was wonderful. But I never consider myself as a presence, or that I have a presence, or that you should think about my presence. Not at all. Not at all. Can't even consider what love in my heart. You can't define it. You cannot define the love in your heart. We all have a presence. It means I'm here. That's it. That's all it means, is I'm here. Doesn't mean that I'm walking on water or walking on air or that I am anything at all. Because what's really beautiful about spirituality, in my experience, is that you release all of that. And it doesn't go to non-respect. Is it respectful to say your presence? It might be a kindness. It might. But it's so unnecessary. I don't think of myself that way. I don't want to think of myself that way. I don't think of that at all. It bothered me a little bit, I have to say. The divine presence within me is the divine presence within you, without a question, without a doubt, without a measure, without a border. No one is higher or lower. Everyone is unique and everyone is common. And that's the beauty of life. I don't want that you should think that I think, that's a big projection, that I should be elevated above you, because I don't think like that. Mm-mm. I will wait for someone to raise their wonderful hand and we will go on with satsang. I am not the Pope of such a Sangha. Okay, no one is raising their hand. We can just stop satsang now. So there's no one who is, there's someone. Get your hands raised. There will be four hand raisings. That's what I will, because that's what we have time for. That's what I will address and be with for everyone here. Mm-hmm. So maybe Barbara is the only one today. How are you, Barbara?
I'm fine, thank you.
Good.
Yes. Shantimaya, I wanted to ask you, the Om Shri Satche, you say every time in satsang, mm-hmm. What does it exactly mean? And is it also something I can say when I start praying or when I sit in meditation?
You can if you want to. Isn't that great? And something that you're saying now, I love this, that you kind of prime, you know, like you put on a coat in the winter to go outside, or you turn on a light in the dark room so that you can see, or you get under your blankets to stay warm, or you light the fire. All of these things, you kind of make a preparation, isn't it? Mm-hmm. So Om Shri Satche Om is the sound of the universe. It's the fundamental vibration, I guess we can say, frequency that everything comes out of and is formed by that sound and that sound alone. Shri means respectful, reverence. You know what reverence means? You have a certain kind of feeling for God. You have a certain, it's like a Mr. or a Mrs. In a traditional and sweet sense, huh? A reverence. Shri means to revere or to be respected, to respect. Mm-hmm. Om Shri Satche, truth. Not with a small t, but with a capital T. A truth that we cannot define, we cannot contain, and yet is true in every single being without measure. That's Satche. Maha means great. Mahatma Gandhi. Huh? Maha means great. Prabhu means God. Kijay means with victory. So victory to the venerable truth within us all, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Which is itself God. Om Shri Satche Mahaprabhu Kijay. Paramatma. Paramatma means that which is beyond all limits. KJ, victory to you, to me, to that, to the intrinsic nature of all, that's beyond all limits, has no limit whatsoever. Paramatma KJ, Gurudev Bhagawan KJ, Guru is the one who reminds us. Now, that can be from your own heart. That can be from a billboard. That can be from a little sparkle on the river. That can be the sound of tires going down a wet road in a rainy day. Guru is what brings the light of awareness. And in India, guru can even mean a school teacher. They call the school teachers guru. They call their parents guru. Gu means darkness. Ru means light. Bhagawan means God on earth, which is yourself. This is what the guru brings, is that awareness that everyone is not a part of God. God has no parts. That everyone is total without measure in the light of God. That's life itself. Okay? Gurudev Bhagwan Ki Jai. Sacha Sangha means the gathering of those who are aware, are really truly aware of that truth, which is immeasurable, total, is itself the great mystery. Victory to those people, because they are the light for all. And the more, well, I'm not real fond of the word more. We'll just leave it there. So Om Shri Satche Mahaprabhu Ki Jai. Victory to the truth which is in all beings, which is God's self-nature, immeasurable in all. Victory to awareness of that. Paramatma Ki Jai. Victory to the one that's beyond all limits. There is no inside or outside. All is total. Om Shri Satche Mahaprabhu Ki Jai, Paramatma Ki Jai, Guru Dev Bhagwan Ki Jai. Dev means, again, God on earth. Deva means God. India, it's said that the government has registered 365 million names of God. So there's a ton of them. And there's a million a day. And each God has 1,000 names, which ought to say something to somebody about everything being that great mystery. And such a Sangha, the gathering for truth with a capital T, victory to that. Ki J means with victory. J means victory. So that's what you got. And it's a lovely primer. It's a lovely entrance point. It's a gate opening. It's a key to your meditation, to your japa, what you love. In the spiritual way, the Dharma has given us so many elements and implements and images of what is true inside of us, you know, meditation and japa and prayer and kindness and love and generosity and it just goes on and on and on. And we don't have to strive for them. We simply be aware that that's within us and available to us at all times. And we have a lot of joy going there, a lot. So, and I oftentimes end with that too, but not every time. It's a seal of our ashram. It's specific to Satya. David Premal made a beautiful song. Om Shri Satche Mahaprabhu Ki Jai Paramatma Ki Jai. But she stole it. I asked her, I said, where did you get that? Because those aren't words that everybody knows. She said, I had somebody come in your ashram and I stole it. And I said, well, Maharaji loves that song. So she did something very beautiful with it. But it's a seal of our ashram. Every ashram has a seal. Muktananda's was Sat Guru Nath Maharaj Ki Jai, and then they would begin. So every ashram has its own seal. Mm-hmm.
Thank you. I love it so much, and yeah, that's why I was wondering. And I've seen it already.
Yes, it's a wonderful light to shine into your heart. That's for sure.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Namaste.
So it looks like that we are ending satsang now. Nobody else has put their hand up. And what time is it? I don't know. We have time for other people, but nobody is participating today. So I don't know what to do about that. It would be good to have your participation because I would really like to know how you are, how you're moving along, what's your challenge, what you see. What is your question? How are you feeling in your life? Three people come up already. Two, one, zero, nine. Okay. Rahasya. Oh, there's Michael. Hi, Michael. How are you? I don't usually say hi. Let me say greetings, Michael. Namaste. How are you?
Yes. Namaste, Shanti Mai. Wonderful to be with you again, I'm doing really well. I think the last time we talked a couple of weeks ago, I was not doing so well, but I'm doing very well. And you know, this thing that you this message you got from Australia. Excuse me. I have a ritual. I've maybe talked about this before, but I have a ritual every Saturday. I go to, I have a cigar every Saturday.
I know, that's, I love that.
It's my big treat every week. But I found a new location, and it's on a cliff. It's overlooking the Pacific Ocean.
Nice.
And, but you know, describing that experience of the 95-year-old woman in Australia, like sitting in her splendor, and I just thought it was such a great way to frame it, that because I sit there and like every whatever cares I have, whatever, it all slips away. You know, it's just
what you're saying is so important. How is it that it can slip away on the cliff, but it cannot slip away when it grabs you?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I'll leave it there.
Yeah. There's just this sense of, of splendor. Yeah. I mean, like that, how can anything override that? You know,
that's right.
I was just really grateful that you shared that, because it really just spoke so well to what my experience is whenever I go to this place. Yeah.
Mm. I'm getting a lot of nice messages from different people in Australia these days.
Oh my gosh.
Poetic and beautiful.
Mm.
One of our sanghi, a new word, which we just make it up. Sent the Ashtavakra Gita because they were so enthralled, at least this passage in the Gita, they were so enthralled with what it was saying. And remember Ashtavakra was a little 8-year-old bent up guy. He couldn't walk straight. People would laugh at him.
Mm.
Yeah. You remember the story, Michael, of I think it was a Rumi story. I don't know if it was Rumi who was the master that insisted upon it, but he had this disciple. He had a disciple, and he told him that he wanted him to go across town for a bottle of wine, bring it back. And the disciple was like, you're drinking wine? And the master said, go get me a bottle of wine. So he did. And people could see that he was carrying this bottle of wine under his jacket, you know. And about a week later, the guru said, the master said, well, I would like a lot more of that wine. It was really good. He said, you get me a bottle and a big one, carry it on your head. And the disciple was actually humiliated by the very thought. And the master had him do this again and again and again until the outside world did not bother him any more. And that's something that once we enter such a place within us all the time, we will be guided by our heart in a loving way, intelligent, wise. Our thinking changes. It's like sitting on the cliff, drawing into your being the entire the entire expanse of what you can perceive of the Pacific Ocean. And no one anywhere can put anything into that experience that isn't already magnificent. Not a word. Nothing. And we have that all the time. On the red couch, you have the same. Ooh. I love that red sofa. You guys, I'm looking for one, actually. So, yeah. But I feel, Michael, it's very important to say, why is the red sofa and the contents and the containment of my home any different than the cigar at the ocean, which gives me the sense of what is truly free in me always? I think that's an important thing to consider.
Yeah, it's a good question. Yeah.
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 And continue to go to the ocean.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Wonderful.
Yeah. Yeah.
I love you. You know that, huh?
Yeah. I know that. And I love you too, Shanti Mai.
That's our good luck.
Mm.
Thank you for telling me about your cigar at the ocean. What do you do with the butt?
Well, that's a good question, because I pour water on it to make sure it's over. Then I have a little container and I take it with me, and I find a garbage can and I put it in.
Great. I think it's organic. If you water it, you can
probably... it's probably okay, but still, it's such a such a pristine place.
Give Margaret my love.
I will. Thank you, Shanti Mai.
Thank you.
Namaste.
Thank
you. Namaste. Namaste.
So we have Rahasia here. Rahasia. Nobody else raised their hand. We got them all. We got them all. We're going to have a satsang that lasts a little bit, that has people involved in it. This is the great thing. Mm-hmm. Our Sangha. Oh, here's another Sanghi. Hello, Rahasia.
Hello, Shanti Mai. So good to be with you.
Do you like the name Rahasia?
I love it. It's a song. It's so precious.
Great, great secret that is so evident.
I really appreciate the invitation that you gave us to share. It's teaching me to not hold back. There's times when we hear someone say something or we feel some love towards someone and it registers here, but it's like, why not offer it too? So I feel like you invited this offering. You're reminding me that this engagement with life, like step into it and share what's occurring. And so much is occurring. so much. I feel that what you're giving me, what you're giving us, it's like I drink water or I take in food and then the body does what it does with it and I don't see it. The water goes in the cells. So being at Terra di Sacha, having you in my life, it's going in. And then months later, I will hear that hairpin turn. I will hear you are not the youth that you were, the person you were a day ago is no longer. And it writes me for that moment. It's like these constant adjustments. And it's not like a big effort. It's like that water came in.
Whoa. I want to celebrate. Can everybody yay? It's not a big effort. But it does take.
Yeah.
It requires something of you, doesn't it?
It does. Yes.
It gives back a thousandfold. I would say that what I'm giving to you is an empty basket. And whatever you put in that basket gets absorbed by the universe and is always empty, always willing to be filled. Always. I don't even know if a basket can be willing. It's a way of speaking. But what I'm giving to you, you already have. Maharaji used to tell me that all the time. I cannot give you anything that is not inherently already yours. What I can do is remind you that it is inherently yours.
Yeah. And sometimes this sense of things in the world kind of being upside down, where there's a presentation of a belief in division and higher and lower and better than and status. And then you get that mud on the windshield, you know, and you don't see, I don't see for a moment because I'm attending to that and making it real in my mind. And so it does require an effort to attend to what's been that empty bat, what's been given or what's already here. And so what's already there. Yeah.
There is no mud. Well, when you look at it, you can just go like that and it's not there, right?
That's true. Yeah.
So where is the root of it? It's in following, like you say, it's in believing that that's important or that that's going to take my attention right now. And sometimes it does, but so what?
Right. Yeah.
If we don't get into it to the point where, okay, yeah, I'm thinking about it. Oh, is it spiritually wrong to do that?
Yeah.
No. Are you aware that it can end in any moment? I think this is the most important, is that you can perceive any way you want to.
Lately, I'm aware that I had this belief, I think, as a child, that there were these angels in heaven kind of keeping score of my thoughts or my feelings. And this sense of a judging God, you know, is subtly being played with on some level. And it makes me laugh when I say that, as if the authority or if the agency lays outside myself. Like there's, you know, and I have to wait till I die to be reminded that I, you know, yeah. So it's just interesting. All these things have absorbed and it's like they're falling away and I'm seeing them wash down the river or something.
Yes, yeah. I get that. And as I laid my head down for my evening nap, because I really wanted to sleep today, I was speaking to the heavens within your very cells, to the DNA ladder, to the universe, to the angels. Watch over me because I don't want to slip up. I don't want to. And what does slip up mean? I don't know. But I will 100%, if I say that I am not thinking negatively on you, I will not go upstairs and think negatively on you. I will hold an integrity to what I feel is the truest and clearest and freest and is, in fact, the empty basket in me. I don't want to present what is not actual. That's all. That's all. There's nothing more to it. There's nothing more to it. So if you think about the crud in the world, that's what you're thinking about. That's honest. And as your awareness is well, it's a funny kind of word that I'm going to use because it's not true. When your awareness is bound by that energetic decision to perceive like that, there is no binding. And to realize that is of great importance. So whatever you do in your life is perfectly fine. Perfectly fine. And when you're curiously and beautifully aware of how to diminish the nonsense, that's a marvelous key to the peace that's always within you, that will serve you, that does serve you, that will guide you. Just that little bit of, I'm aware that I'm being drawn into this situation of my own accord, and I can stop it at any time. And if I want to go on, I can go on. That's what I meant by the prayer. Whatever is, I never want to say something in, it's kind of sticky, an example sort of way that I myself have not really taken hold of and cared about. And be alive in it. Why should I say I'm alive in it if I'm not? Better not to say anything. And it's so sweet, and it's so liberating. You're just fine exactly as you are, and your awareness is serving you very well. And it's a lifetime journey. I say it's, I don't know how long this journey, it's an overused word, is, but I don't care.
Yeah.
I'm sitting in my own splendor. I'm sitting in my own radiance, whether I'm on the toilet or in the temple or in nature, walking the dogs, feeding the dogs, opening a can of dog food, yuck. Thinking of considering the world, it's all God. It's all the mystery. Every thought, every breath, every perception, every being, without measure, absolutely, without division, there are no parts. The mystery is total and perfect as it is. Also, Rahasya, I have a transmission that I'm editing probably tomorrow morning. It's about the war in Ukraine and someone who has been blessed to be relieved of it, at least in location. So I asked that person, would it be okay if I made a transmission about it rather than writing to you? And they said yes. So it's a kind of encouragement of sorts. You can take a look if you want. If you don't want, I don't know.
Can I say one more thing on my heart? That
you can say a thousand things on your heart. You have this. You have the whole Zoom.
I was considering, it crossed in my awareness yesterday about Sangha. I was reflecting just spontaneously about being in France at Terre de Sacha. And I thought, stepping in, I imagined being in the dining room. And it was, and I felt like I could take that awareness into my life, that there was no, the way of being together, there was no need to impress, or it wasn't like we had to prove we were overly spiritual, all these ideas that one could bring to an ashram. And then I saw that actively in my life here. It didn't, there was no separation, that the beings and the people in front of me, they, I can't say the phrase in Sanskrit properly, but the whole world is our family. And I got to actually experience that being with others in that way with Sangha. And then I didn't feel the separation, like, oh, well, my neighbors aren't my Sangha. It's just, it felt natural to not need to bring to a community of people a sense of comparison, you know, all this kind of jockeying for position, language. And so I was another like, oh, what a gift I was given, you know, to be together like that. And it's just what you talk about, cosmic timing, how these seeds are sprouting. And yeah, you just to see, I don't even realize what I've been given most of the time. And then when I do, I'm like, wow, like how, so grateful. So
yeah, it's wonderful. And over Christmas, there was a little, I did offered a transmission. I'm not sure I'd do a transmission. Words are so important. There was a recent transmission where over Christmas, there was a little bit of a rub one person to another. And, you know, I mean, people are people. And one of the Sangha said, well, in an ashram, people should be kind. I agree. Well, in an ashram, people should be honest. Well, yeah. They should be anyhow, whether they're in an ashram or not. And went on like that. And I quoted Haridas. And Haridas says, the ashram will save you from the world, but you have to save yourself from the ashram. So I like it, because you should not expect people to be angelic or perfect or what you want them to be when you walk in the ashram. You know, people in our Sangha, through my observation, are extremely sincere about their awareness. And sometimes it's very confronting. And that's not a, that's a perfectly fine thing too. You nailed it when you said Sangha is my neighbor. Sangha means gathering. In Buddhism, there are three gems, three jewels, the Buddha, the Sangha, and enlightenment, I believe, are the three. I can be off on that because I'm not a Buddhist scholar and I don't remember at all, although I respect it very deeply. But Sangha is one of the jewels, the three jewels of Buddhism, because we learn when we rub, you know, or we're not perfect, or we're not how people think we should be.
Yeah. So to summarize, I'm so good. And even when I don't seem so good, I'm still so good. So thank you for
The red couch and the stone sitting on the cliff overlooking the expanse of the Pacific Ocean. is being experienced by the same person. So what brings the peace that is always there? And what disturbs it? And we take responsibility and we see, yeah, well, it's, I'm not going any further with that. You can figure it out. I think you already have it. I think you have it figured out very well. Whatever my experience is, it is of God. Mm. Whether it's, it doesn't have to be magnificently wonderful. It can be a real pain in the neck. But that doesn't change the fact. Mm. Namaste.
Namaste.
Shirin.
Yeah, namaste, Shantimai.
Pronounce your name for me so that I know.
Yes, it is Shirin. Yes, you okay. Pronounce it very well. Yes.
You look like my granddaughter.
Yes, you told me some years ago in a satsang also. Yeah, yeah. I remember this, and this Rebecca. Made me very happy. Yes.
Yeah. Well, you're quite different too. But Rebecca, she's a very, yeah, you look a lot alike. Mm-hmm. So what's on your satsang agenda there?
Some months ago, I asked a question about how I should behave. I'm a lawyer and I'm a corporate lawyer. I am working in a company and I had a problem and I talked about you about this problem that I had with some colleagues. And then you asked me to tell you what happened afterwards. And now, thankfully, I resolved it. Now I can, it is going well. And I feel my heart very open when I am with them. It's a funny situation. Yeah, because firstly I was kind of hating them, but now I don't hate. So I could find this openness in me. You wanted me to brief about this event, so that's why I'm telling it. And also about what you told in the beginning of satsang. I met you first in ashram in Rishikesh in 2014, I think. And what you told in the beginning reminded me my first encounter with you, because it was powerful. And you told me, and I was hurrying up. In the ashram, I was—I don't remember, but I was just running from one place to another. And you told me something like that. Don't forget, or you are the avatar. Something like that. This is what I remember. And now what you told again? This satsang reminded me again that this. The fact that also all my experiences, as you just told, that are of God. Because for me it was very difficult, and I was always having in my head this hierarchy between me and my teachers. But now I feel like I learned to see also this essence in me, and it's getting better and better.
This is a great importance. And it doesn't make your teacher, your master, your guru, your mother, your father, your husband, your brother, your sister, your child, the neighbor, any less. As a matter of fact, these ideas about high and low begin to dissolve into what we can call. Words are really tricky sometimes. What we can call the wholeness of life. And we no longer have to compare. Well, we never had to. But we no longer compare ourselves to anyone. when that awareness of an essential nature, which you have revered in your teachers or revered in the Buddha or revered in your yoga teacher or whoever you feel I don't want to go into that. And that this rose, this beautiful fragrant rose, we'll talk in a poetic manner, has sprung from a tight bud and has opened, and its fragrance is wafting. That is such a wonderful recognition. And you begin to disappear and into this fragrance and this beauty. Even when you're upset, when you're irritated, when you don't agree with things, when life is tough, it's still just a beauty within you and within everyone, and within everyone, without question, without measure. Because the one who, like you say, I'm beginning to see this essence in myself. The one who sees this essence in themselves, it spreads like the sun in the morning, the light, over everything. And I can't own it. You can't own it. It's just our nature. It's just, I can't say anything more. And even when we're peeved at people, we begin to still see that that essence is function. It is the full function of life. Isn't it wonderful? Huh? And we can still be irritated with people. We can, you know, we just can, because it's natural. We don't have to hide it or act like it's not true that we have that. I really dislike it when people expect that you shall act a certain way. You know, don't expect anything of me, period. Let me offer my heart and soul to you in love. And take your expectations and get them out of the way. Or go ahead and expect, whatever you want to do. But I don't accept your expectations. And I'm not going to act accordingly. Or maybe I will, who knows? You know, that's just the way it is. You're lovely.
Thank you. You too.
Yeah. What you see in yourself, you will see in everything in the universe.
Sometimes I see, yes. In the street, some days ago, I saw a man, and physically he was very ugly, and he was very old and ugly, but he was so attractive, and these contradictions in himself were so attractive.
Then he was beautiful.
Yes, in a way also, yes.
And then you don't have to categorize whether he's beautiful or ugly.
Yes.
And he can be just what he is. He can be homely sometimes and sometimes beautiful, and neither.
Yes.
Well, I've left you with something to consider. I can see that. Sometimes you see that. Sometimes you see that essence. I know this is language, but I hear you. Sit in your own splendor, your own radiance. In nature, in the sofa, watching the internet videos. Yeah, whatever you do. Nothing takes it away. It's always there. It doesn't just happen when things are great. It is life itself. It is the appearance of life itself. Mm-hmm. The mystery itself. Huh? Next time I see you,
I will say, tell.
Yeah, you will say, I see that more and more, Shanti Mai. I see it almost without a seam, without a gap. Do you know what a seam is? A gap is like this.
Yeah, I see. Yes. Yes. Maybe.
No, for sure.
Okay.
Okay. Is there something else you would like to say?
And what just we want to have a child also, and I want to be very, but maybe it's very related also. If there is no gap, as you told, then maybe.
Well, wait a minute. No. Being that there is no gap, not if there is no gap.
Okay.
Being that there is no gap gives you the opportunity to see it. If is pivotal. Maybe yes, maybe no.
Okay, I see.
I'm glad you do.
Okay. And maybe I would just ask you, but this is a long question. If the answer is long, please don't answer me, but what would be your advice for a woman who wants to be a mother?
For someone who's lost their mother?
Yeah. No. Just for someone who expects a child.
Oh, are you expecting a child?
We are trying.
Uh-huh. Oh, okay. So love. That's it. No. 100%.
Okay.
Discipline in love, raise in love, always let the child know that they are loved, conceive in love.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
You're welcome. I love you.
I love you too. I'm happy that you are honored when I am honored.
Me too. Let me know when you conceive. Let me know. We'll make a wonderful conscious blessing towards your pregnancy. Namaste. Varesha.
Hello, Shanti Mai.
Varesha, how are you?
I'm good, thank you.
I didn't know that you played guitar.
And my daughter, Shandi.
Ah, okay.
Yeah. it's her room to begin with, but now it's mine for a while. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I really just raised my hand because I didn't want that time to end. And
that's so much just like you, Varesha.
but now, yeah. Right before satsang, I was sitting by the water here in Stockholm and by a marina and watching the sunset in the water. So I liked what you said about the water and the sparkle in the water. And I was also wondering, yes, why is it that we see it like what Michael described when he's in his red couch? It's different than when he takes his cigar and watch the Pacific Ocean. And I wonder why, because there is no difference, really.
Personalize it a little bit.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. We won't put it too far out to just Michael. If I repeat it, it's for you as well.
Yes.
Yeah. So
yeah.
Because it was inspiring to listen, to him.
Yes.
On the edge of the Pacific Ocean, because I know what that's like. I don't know where he is, but I know what that's like.
Yeah.
And the red couch. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So, hold on, Varesh.
Okay.
Hold on, I want to hear you too. Find out what the difference is obvious. One is a red couch and one is a Pacific Ocean. But what is the shift inside? Because there is that even, and it can go up and down, it can go all kinds of ways, but you can still be even, like a car can go up a hill, down a hill, but it's still on four wheels, you know, it can go fast, it can go slow, it can go in reverse, it can park, it can do anything, but it's still on four wheels. So what is that steadiness of, let's find the right, a fine word for this. What is this steadiness of breath? Of that which we don't have to define. That does not define us. And that, in my view, is what Michael, part of, I don't know what Michael is receiving there. That's Michael's story, but must be part of, or that has no definition whatsoever, doesn't need one. All definitions kind of fly over it or under it or they're somewhere else. And we're just simply where we are, being at peace with ourselves, and the world is going on without us. Very happy that the world goes on without me. I am just elated about that. That's about the happiest thing in my life at this moment, is that the world can go on without me or my involvement or my concern or anything else. And if I see anywhere that I can help, I will. And if I can't, I won't. And it just doesn't need me to worry about it or think about it, that's for sure. What's going to happen tomorrow? Will it come to my door? Will I live long enough? Am I going to have enough money? What do people think of me? I mean, what a fragmented, unpleasant inner turmoil is that. Heart-wrenching, actually. You go to the red couch, you go to the red couch, you go to the ocean, you go to the ocean. There's something about traversing through life that is constant and does not need to be in a state of turmoil at all. And maybe sometimes it is, but doesn't need to be, it's not required for us to be human, whatever that is. I see it as a dreaming, the illusion of dreaming, which is magnificent. Irritating, chaotic, harmonious, beautiful, horrible. It's all God. I am the great Moses said, Lord, what is your name? He got this feedback through his Apple earphones on Mount Sinai, I am. What? Are we stuck? No, we're not stuck. It's good to see you. I love you with all my heart, Varesha.
I love you too.
Mm-hmm. What is the difference between, what is the steadiness of like a car doing whatever it does? I don't know. I don't know how to explain it. I remember in the old days, they kind of explain it like this, and it's a very good explanation. It's a very good explanation. It's a very good example. That without the screen, the movie cannot be projected. And the screen is that kind of coherency. Between the Pacific Ocean and the red couch. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes. Yes, I've had experiences where it is like a movie, everything. And
what about, now wait a minute, what about the screen? Forget the movie. We don't see the screen when the movie comes on.
No.
No, we don't pay attention to the screen at all. So that was the example. Pay attention to the screen. The screen is empty. Anything can be played upon it.
Yeah.
So play well. Enjoy life. Have some joy. Don't worry about those patients. That's up to the great mystery. Either yes or no. People live or pass. Things are going on. Millions and millions of life forms are coming and going every moment. And the mystery of it really does touch our heart. We don't become cold and calculated and uncaring. But we also don't get in a knot about it. Well, I got to go now.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Take care of yourself.
Thank you.
The movie screen, once the movie's on, the screen disappears, but the screen never disappears because without the screen, the movie cannot be cast. It cannot be projected. And that's very, and the movie screen and the projection of the movie are vitrified, means inseparable. I'll leave it at that. Namaste, everyone. Om Shri Sache Mahaprabhu Ki Jai. Paramatma Ki Jai. Gurudev Bhagwan Ki Jai. Satchasanga Ki Jai. Your sound is not on. Let's see. Nope. 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 It could be on your computer screen. It could be just your mute button because you turned it on when satsang came on. In the lower left corner of your screen, there may be a little microphone there.
Is it his microphone?
We switched maybe off his microphone.
Yeah. Yeah, the proper microphone.
Oh, and check your microphone, they're asking. Hit the dulcimer. Nope. It's no sound at all.
Can you hear me? Yes, the last time you played one, it took a second for the sound to adjust to you playing. So maybe play 5 or 6 notes and see if it catches up.
But can you hear my voice?
Yes, but it's very far away. It's connected to your microphone right now, I think.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay, let's try again. Sorry.
No. Yep.
Thank you.
Thank you, Juan. That concludes satsang for today. We'll see you next week at 10:30 Central European time. Have a wonderful morning or evening or night, wherever you are on the planet. Namaste.